welcome to Comic Talk Today for Tuesday, March 27th, 2018. Dark Side is. This weekend was super busy, so that's why I didn't put out an episode yesterday. I thought about it. I really did. I thought about it. I was like, I just can't. I've got to relax a little bit. I had a very long day at work. Same today. Matter of fact, every day this week, I'm working 12 plus hours. And today, as I posted on Twitter last night, I was going to do a reaction post to some things I noticed at the convention this past weekend. I went to SC Comic Con, and I was going to title the episode, "Your Booth is Empty Because You Don't Give a Crap." But that's not what it's going to be called, and that's not coming out today either. I've decided I'm going to put that out tomorrow, because this past weekend was also WonderCon. And as I posted, I believe it was Sunday afternoon, I posted a chunk of the DC Publishers panel in which they talked about Justice League for the most part. Well, they talked about a lot of stuff. But the piece that I posted on the last episode was about the Justice League part. So if you haven't heard that, you don't need to go back and listen. It's fine. I'm going to recap some of that stuff in this episode. But the reason I want to recap some of the stuff in this episode is because the title of this episode is DC Rebirth is Dead, Long Live Metal. And this is going to go back to something that I've been thinking about over the last couple of months. And so I want to put those thoughts out in an expanded format on this podcast, because I've mentioned it in some of the other shows that I do. Matter of fact, I want to say I talked about it a little bit on, where did I talk about it? Maybe the last time I was on Absolute DC Podcast, or maybe it was on the Legion Podcast. I can't remember. In one of the podcasts that I do, I kind of briefly mentioned this idea that I have that the stuff that we thought we were going to be seeing in DC Rebirth when that relaunched is kind of not going to be the continuity moving forward for DC Comics. And I've been thinking about that for quite a bit, and I think for me at least, the stuff that was announced over the weekend at WonderCon kind of cements some of that. And I want to know what people think about it, because I could be wrong. I could be very wrong. Matter of fact, I know that there's people listening to this podcast that disagree with my opinions, but respect it and still listen. So thank you. I hope that you have gone to Apple Podcasts or wherever else and left this show a 5-star rating, because I do appreciate that. And then in the comment, you can tell me that I suck, but just leave that 5-star rating, because if you're listening, you probably, I assume, enjoy this podcast. So let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff from DC WonderCon Publishers Panel 2018. There was a lot. The first chunk of it was about DC Inc., it was about DC Zoom, and I'm not going to be talking about that today. I will be doing something maybe this weekend. So this week, there will be actually an episode every single day of the week. Today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, what's the next day? Saturday? Sunday, I might take the day off. But every day this week, there's going to be something going on, because I think there's a lot happening in comics. I want to talk about it. And unfortunately, because of my schedule, my ability to coordinate with other folks and do other podcasts is extremely limited. And as much as I love Twitter, 280 characters is not enough, and I don't want to do a tweet storm, and I do have some good places that I could go and write some of this stuff in an extended written format, but I think the audience for the podcast is a little different, and I think some of those people prefer to listen to this type of commentary instead of reading about this type of commentary. So obviously, if you heard the episode, some of this is recap. If you didn't hear the WonderCon episode, this will be new to you. Bear with me, I'm going to do that very quickly, and then I'm going to get into my argument of why DC Rebirth is dead. And I know that you'll disagree, so if you do, comictalktoday@gmail.com or at GeekVine on Twitter will be the best place to tell me that. Scott Snyder was on the panel, and as I mentioned in the previous episode, for me, Snyder over the last couple of years has been kind of on the downtrend. Obviously, I'm in the minority because his books sell very well. Very, very well. DC Metal, this whole thing, regardless of delays in the event itself, has done very well for DC. Always top 10. Matter of fact, when we had Aaron on for Therapy Thursday last week, one of the DC Metal tie-in books, one of the one-shot books that was Snyder and Morrison, was the top-selling book for last month. It was the Wild Hunt Rising Knights Metal thing majiggy. I don't know. They all have very long names. So obviously he does very well, right? He had a good run on Detective. That's why they put him on Batman. That's why they pretty much let him do whatever he wants. The All-Star Batman that he did with Capullo, I don't think was a critical hit. Even sales-wise, I don't think it was a critical hit. And it's kind of surprising that they just kind of let him do what he wants. But I gotta say, watching the panel, and if you heard it, I hope you maybe felt the same way listening to the panel, it feels like Scott Snyder is very much a comics guy. He loves the hell out of what he does. And I think that's really important. And even though maybe some of that hasn't bled through to me in some of his latest things, it's obvious that he loves doing that kind of stuff. And it seems like the stuff that he's helming at DC, and I'm phrasing it that way for a particular reason, but the stuff that he's helming at DC with the Justice League is kind of like his dream project. As a matter of fact, I believe he might have even said that in the panel, that this whole metal thing that ties into the No Justice thing that will eventually lead into the new Justice stuff that he's doing is kind of his dream project, something that he's been working on ever since he was on Batman. So years that he's been planning this kind of story. And, you know, obviously DC felt like Batman should go a different way, and Tom King was brought in. The whole company relaunched with Rebirth, and they wanted to go a different direction. And yet now we see that Scott Snyder is giving pretty much free rein to go back into that toy box and pull those toys out, and not just pull them out, but do something completely different with them. Something completely new, or new-ish. Because a lot of the things that he said in the panel seems like it does speak quite a bit to stuff that we have seen in Justice League history. Like the Hall of Justice making a comeback. The Legion of Doom making a comeback. Things like that. So that's cool. I dig that. I dig that. And so, of course, we know that he's going to be doing the main Justice League book. It's going to have Batman, Superman, Cyborg, Wonder Woman, the return of Martian Manhunter, of course, who is making his comeback in DC Metal. John Stewart as the Green Lantern. That's a very, I think, great choice, because what's happening with Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, I think Hal Jordan's got kind of his hands full. And it's nice that Snyder is willing to take another key Green Lantern of Earth and make him a central part of the book. Plus, obviously, it's great for diversity, right? Because we've got Cyborg on there, we've got John Stewart, Martian Manhunter, Hawk Girl is going to be in the book, which I find very interesting that it's Hawk Girl, not Hawk Man. And why the reasoning for that, I'm not quite sure. And I want to dig in a little bit more into what the deal was with the Hawkman book. I was just, over the weekend, I recorded an episode, the final episode of the Valiant podcast. Now, not the Valiant Central podcast, the Valiant podcast, which is Mike Myers, Daryl Taylor, Chris Campbell. And that was an inspiration for me to want to get into podcasting again, and why Paul and I started the Valiant Central podcast. But anyways, they wanted to record the last episode, and they asked me to get on, so I got on there. Matter of fact, Aaron was on, who was on Therapy Thursday last week from Absolute DC, and we had a great time. Matter of fact, too good a time. We recorded for 3 hours. We talked about a whole lot of stuff about Valiant, but in that conversation, some of the stuff came up, and some of the things that I'll talk at some point during this podcast. Like, I really want to talk about Avengers No Surrender. I'm not going to do that today, but boy, is that good. Boy, is that good. There's something going on over at Marvel, and I don't know what that is. But maybe I can figure it out, probably on Friday's episode. I'll be diving in a little bit on that. But we did talk about Hawkman a little bit, because from my understanding, and from Daryl's understanding, and a few other people that are entrenched in some of these things, we all thought that Jeff Lemire was going to be writing Hawkman. And of course, that's not the case now. Robert Venditti's doing it, which is fantastic. Robert is one of the kindest, nicest people in comics, I would say. So I'm very excited that he's allowed to do that property. But if anybody knows anything, that wants to fill me in on anything, I'd be very curious to know what the hell happened to Hawkman. But back to Justice League. So, that's the core team. And Flash, of course. I believe Aquaman. And we talked about that last week when they announced the writers, right? So Jim Chung and Jorge Jimenez are going to be on that book. They did announce some of the other stuff for Justice League, which is very exciting because there's, I mean, three, I guess, core books, as long as you're not counting like Teen Titans, right? Which Teen Titans is going to be Adam Glass and Bernard Chang. And that team looks very odd and weird. But I look forward to it because I'm a big fan of Adam Glass. Adam Glass does a lot of great work at Aftershock. He did the Rough Riders book for Aftershock. It's on the second volume now, or third volume just started. And he does fantastic stuff over there. And he's not a stranger to DC, right? He did Suicide Squad and New 52 for a little while. And, of course, he's a big-time movie guy for the Supernatural fans. I guess I got to plug that. There's... The Supernatural fans are, there's something. I gotta plug them in there. Alright, so the second book is Justice League Dark, which is James Tynion, which explains why he's off of Detective, and Alvaro Martinez, who did Detective with Tynion. They're gonna be doing Justice League Dark, and that's gonna be Zatanna, John Constantine, Swamp Thing, Man-Bat, and Detective Chimp. And the team is led by Wonder Woman. And I think... This is such a cool effing idea. Because I think Tynion has proved himself as somebody who is able to write a team book, which is not easy to do because you have so many different voices that you need to combine and make work together. There's a lot of, it's a lot harder to do a team book than a book that deals with just one central character. Even if you have like some kind of ensemble. And, To have Tynion do this book, I think is going to be really, really nice. Apparently, it's been his dream project. This is something he's been pitching DC for years, since before he got on Detective. So I'm glad he's going to get to work on that. And the team sounds awesome. It's some people that we've seen in Justice League Dark before. And, of course, a couple of new weirdos in Man-Bat and Detective Chimp. And I know that I have a few friends that are very excited to have Detective Chimp on an ongoing basis on a book. And from my understanding, he showed up in DC Metal as well. So it makes sense that they would reintroduce him and make him part of the team. And to have Wonder Woman come in here is not as weird as it sounds. Matter of fact, I think Wonder Woman is the one that makes the most sense out of the Trinity, of course. I mean, you could probably have like a Martian Manhunter leading this team, possibly. But I don't know if anybody else could do it as well as Wonder Woman. So I'm excited for that. This will deal a lot with the magical aspects of the DC universe. And that, I think it's something that's really lacking in DC. Because there's a lot of magical characters, but none of it either lasts very long or people really pay attention to. So I think this will be really interesting when it comes out. And I definitely look forward to picking this up. And the last one I think is the weirdest one. Of all the three teams, I joked around a little bit when they announced the No Justice miniseries and the Wonder Team and whatever other teams they had on there, because some of them seem really odd and the naming was weird. But the last one is Justice League Odyssey, and Snyder joked a little bit about wanting to call this Justice League FTW, which of course stands for or not FTW WTF for what the F. I'm trying to not use profanity on this podcast so the kids can listen. I'm sure there's kids that listen. And anyway, this is going to be Joshua Williamson, who has done The Flash, Justice League Suicide Squad, and some of the books for DC. And, of course, Steven Sayek, who I know mostly from his Image work, but he recently did work on Aquaman, and his art style is something else. Something very different, and I really enjoy it. And they showed some of the character concepts for this book, and it's definitely the oddest of the bunch. So this book is kind of like a crazy space western, is what Snyder called it. And it's Jessica Cruz, who, for the record, is my least favorite Green Lantern. Now, I don't know what they're doing with her now that they changed the creative team on that book, but when Green Lantern's Rebirth launched, she was kind of terrible. I'm sorry if you're a Jessica Cruz fan, but she was kind of terrible. And so she's going to be the Green Lantern. You've got Starfire on the team. You've got Cyborg on the team. And the oddest choice, well, maybe second oddest choice, we'll get to that in a sec, is Azrael. Azrael. You know, the guy that was Batman back in the 90s, and he was just recently in Detective, and he's kind of crazy. He's going to be on the team. And dude, his character design looks awesome. It looks great. And to round up the team is none other than Darkseid. Because Darkseid is. So that's interesting. Very, very interesting team. And Darkseid looks cool in the new character designs that they've shown. He looks younger. He looks much thinner. He looks much more modern. And I'm curious to see how he's going to be able to work with the team. And I wonder if maybe it's not kind of a MacGuffin for the storyline itself, where at some point he switches sides to another side and becomes the villain of the book. Because we've seen that kind of thing before, right? With like Lex Luthor, for example, or like Norman Osborn. And I think that'd be cool if it's done properly. But it's Justice League in space. And I like the creative team, and I like the weird cast that they put together. So we'll see how it goes. And all these launch in June, right after the No Justice starts, No Justice begins. Oh man, is that this week? No, that's soon though. No Justice is through April, because DC Metal, that's... Alright, see, now we're getting somewhere. I just thought about that. I wanted to talk about this today, because DC Metal ends tomorrow. So I want to get some of these thoughts out before DC Metal comes out. Alright, I'm very excited for all these announcements. If you have some thoughts on the announcements, again, comictoday@gmail.com, @geekvine on Twitter, and if you want to text me, if you have my cell phone number, feel free. But what I find interesting is the overall meaning of things for me. So let me explain what I mean by that. When DC Rebirth was launching, DC made a big thing out of it. And of course they should, because everyone reading the books knew that there was something missing, right? And when DC did their press announcements and all that for DC Rebirth, they emphasized that key point, that they were finally listening to the fans and trying to fix some of the things that the fans weren't very happy with. Now, this is not everybody, okay? I'm overgeneralizing, and I think DC is also, because there are people that really enjoyed a lot of the stuff coming out of New 52. I really dug a lot of stuff in New 52 as well. In fact, there's stuff that came out then that I wish they were still doing, like The Phantom Stranger, which I loved that book when they were doing it. I think Dan Didio was writing The Phantom Stranger. And I just recently read that, by the way. I didn't read that when it was coming out. I read that, I want to say, like, pretty soon after Rebirth launched. And it was fantastic. Anyways, there was still some great stuff coming out of that New 52 era. But for most people, it was kind of lacking as compared to pre-52, and I would say for sure since Rebirth. I think Rebirth did a fantastic job at revitalizing a lot of the properties for DC while not completely discrediting all continuity. So there are things that have changed quite a bit. There are things that have only changed slightly. And there are some things that really haven't changed at all. I mean, like the Green Lantern side of the universe, I would say has been the least affected by anything in Rebirth. It almost feels like, you know what, even since pre-52, I would say, a lot of the stories and the characters really have felt the same. The origins have remained mostly the same. A lot of the storylines kind of follow the same threads throughout the years and have just become natural evolutions of what came before it. Some other stuff, not so much, right? And I think in particular, you could say like The Flash, right? A lot has changed for The Flash. And a lot has changed for The Flash since before all of that stuff happened, right? Flashpoint was a huge event, and it really did have major repercussions for the entire DC universe, not just The Flash. And that's kind of how we got into the whole New 52 deal. And Rebirth was somewhat of a way of repairing some of the damage that Flashpoint caused. And there was this whole big plan, right? I remember when DC Rebirth was announced, they were talking about this whole storyline that would take, you know, a year, 2 years, that would reveal some of what connects this Rebirth universe to the pre-52 universe, You had that whole missing, what, like 10 years, I think it was, the missing chunk of time from the DC Universe. You had the whole thing with Wally West appearing in different books, encountering current Flash, people that don't know who he is, people that maybe kind of remember him but don't really know who he is, people that do remember him and know who he is but that just kind of get made to disappear. You had the stuff going on in Action and Superman that had people wondering if, you know, is this how we're tying everything into Watchmen? Watchmen was the big thing, right? Watchmen this, Watchmen that. And what happened to all that? Because we got the button, right? And the button was fantastic. Fantastic. Where Batman and the Flash find the comedian's button in the Batcave, and they try to solve this mystery that ends up not really solving anything, and that was kind of disappointing. But the story itself was really fun and well done, and there were some great things that were teased at that never really quite came into fruition. But the stuff that's happening with Superman in Action had people thinking, because we had Dr. Oz, right? And everyone's like, oh man, is this like Ozymandias from The Watchmen? He came into our universe? There were articles upon articles written about this, podcast upon podcast talking about theories, and yet we haven't seen Ozymandias in a DC book. There's all this talk about Dr. Manhattan, right? At the end of Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan creates this new universe that he can go and play in and kind of play God. And there was all this teaser art from DC with the blue hands and, you know, referencing like Middle Age paintings where man and God were becoming one, or man learning from God. And it seemed like we would get a tie-in to Dr. Manhattan recreating the DC universe out of the wreckage of 52 into something new. That was the rebirth, right? It was a new universe he could play with, where he could take those characters from his own Watchmen universe, somehow play with that archetype and bring him into our universe. And again, it was stated that the story would take place over a year, 2 years, coming to some kind of conclusion where we would see how this all ties together. And we haven't seen how anything ties together. Now, what Christopher Priest is doing in Justice League is very interesting. I think there's some definite connections to the stuff in the Watchmen universe, to some extent. And I'll probably talk about that at some point once the run ends, which there can't be, what, an issue or two left anyway. And I'll talk about some of that stuff, because I think that run has been great. I've really dug Christopher Priest's Justice League. And of course, we had the Doomsday Clock. And when that was announced months and months ago, everyone was very excited, because we're already getting excited about this whole connection between the Watchmen universe and the DC universe. And now here comes Geoff Johns, undoubtedly one of DC's greatest modern writers. You could disagree, that's fine. I think he is. He did some amazing stuff in the world of Green Lantern. The Green Lantern Rebirth, this is what, like 08? Was just incredible, the stuff that he did with that whole side of the universe. The stuff that led into, you know, Blackest Night and Brightest Day. I mean, stories that lasted for years and brought in so many different aspects of the DC universe and did such cool things in revitalizing mythologies of characters that were, I would say, to some extent, C or D list characters. And he did the same thing with Flash, revitalized the Flash. He gave us Flashpoint, which, again, has created so many new things for the DC universe to play with. Except DC doesn't always like this whole, like, creating new universes thing. It's like, you know, every couple decades we gotta change it. Or, you know, maybe even less. Right? Like, that was the whole point of Crisis, right? We got too many multiverses. Let's kill all the multiverses and we'll have one universe. But then, like, as stories progress, things happen, and I guess the easiest way to fix those things that quote-unquote happen is to attach them to some kind of alternate reality, and, you know, eventually you end up getting all these other alternate realities, and you don't know what to do with them, and so you gotta collapse them again into one. But sometimes those things, I think, work out really well, and the problem is you've got to have the right person doing those things in order to be able to do them properly and make them make sense and not have to find some kind of MacGuffin to fix the thing that you think you broke. For example, Say what you will, but I think Multiversity is one of the greatest miniseries of the last, how long ago was that? We'll just say 10 years. It might not be that long. Well, it's probably 5, if that. Let's just do that. For me, it's one of the greatest things I've read in the last 5 years. Now, I know people have certain inclinations about the writer, and that's fine. But what's interesting is the stuff that happened there, to me, made total sense. Now, granted, because we're dealing with a multiverse, there are things that are not supposed to make sense. And it is part of the job of the reader, I think, to figure out how those things make sense. And the thing is, it feels like a lot of times people don't want to put in the effort to figure out how to make a story make sense. You just want to go out, you want to read a comic, you want to have a good time for the 10 minutes it takes you to read it, if that, and go do something else. Maybe read another comic, or go mow your grass, or watch a movie, or whatever. But there are people that really get very invested in certain comics. And the reason they get invested in those comics is because those comics mean something. Now, I know Mike Myers is probably listening to this, and he's saying to himself, every comic means something. And Mike's right. Mike's right to an extent. Okay? Every comic does mean something. But there are those kind of stories that mean more than other stories. And if you don't have a writer that's willing to test the reader in some way, to try new things so we don't get told the same kind of stories all the time, that's when we run into a problem. Because some people don't want to put in the work when they read the comic. And this is the reason why people still think that comics are for kids. And why, I know that this happens, there are still people, grown men or women, who won't tell people that they read comics because comics are for kids. I have no problem telling everybody that I meet that I read comics. Matter of fact, I will wear all my comic shirts. I will go to the store in my Marvel pajamas. Okay? I don't have any problem with that. Okay? If I'm at work and my ear hurts and I can't have my headphone in, then I'll put it on my Bluetooth speaker and I'll put on some kind of comic book podcast. Everybody at work knows that I read comics and I don't give a shit. Oop, I cussed. I broke my rule! Anyways, so we got this whole Doomsday Clock thing, and everyone was really excited. Geoff Johns, Gary Frank. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. I don't think you can go wrong with that team. Okay, Gary Frank's a fantastic artist. So now we got Doomsday Clock. This is bringing in some of that Watchmen stuff into the DC Universe. This is what we've been waiting for. Okay, it's going to be a 12-issue series. 4 issues, we're going to take a month off, 2 months off, we're going to come back, 4 issues, take a month off, 2 months off, come back, we'll do the last 4. And this is going to be the thing that explains everything to us. And then the Doomsday Clock comes out, and it's really good. I thought the first issue was fantastic. And then the second issue comes out, and people are complaining about, like, oh, does this make sense, does it not make sense? And then you got delays, and now it's not going to be the 4 issues, and then we'll take a month off, and we'll do 4, and take a month off, and do the 4. Now it's going to be like, okay, well, like, we just can't follow the schedule, and, you know, we're going to do this every 2 months. And that takes the wind out of the sails of the story. In particular, a story that people have really been looking forward to see what it's about, how this ties this, everything in together. And I know that there's people listening to me right now that are saying, well, I never expected that. Part of me thinks that you're trying to retcon this whole thing. I mean, you might be right. Maybe you never did actually think that. But I think by this point, some of that excitement has left, and some people are just kind of over it. And by being over it, you just kind of make it okay for yourself to say that kind of thing. And I could be wrong. If you truly feel that way, then that's fine. But you can't deny that delaying a story as important as this has been made out to be is not good for not just the comic, but the entire story that you're trying to resolve. Now, it could be that DC, when they did Rebirth, this was supposed to be the grand moment, right? This Doomsday Clock coming out. But then that just proves my point. Why are you delaying it? This should be monthly. If Gary Frank can't handle the schedule, then maybe you should have a fill-in artist. And maybe Geoff doesn't want a fill-in artist, and that's fine. I'm sure that might be what the case is. But you've got to have these comics coming out on time. It's a big event. Why are they not coming out on time? Same with DC Metal. Why is that not coming out on time? Why is that delayed? These things need to be written and at least like 3 issues done before you announce them. That's the problem that Image had with a lot of their books. And I think Image now is requiring a lot of their books to have a certain number of issues completed completely before they even put them on the solicitations. And I think there's many other publishers, many other companies that could learn from that, because you've got to have the consistency, especially now with the way the comic market is going. You've got to be able to sell your books, especially a big book like this where you know it's going to sell. Now, is Doomsday Clock still going to sell whatever, 60, 70, 80,000 copies? Sure. But if you can catch the 200,000 people that bought the first issue and catch them for every single one of the rest of the issues, then why not do that? Why settle for the lower sales? For people that are just dropping off because they forgot about it. Or they saw that the thing was canceled off the solicit and they just dropped the book completely. It doesn't make sense. But that's not what I want to talk about. Because what I'm trying to talk about is what happened to DC Rebirth? Because the emphasis now seems to me to be completely about Scott Snyder and what Scott Snyder is doing with the Justice League chunk of the universe, of the DC universe. I haven't seen Geoff Johns come on do an interview in a few months. I can't remember the last con, maybe San Diego Comic Con last year was the last time I saw Geoff Johns talking about any of the books. And I know he was busy doing the movie thing, but I don't know what the deal is now with the movie thing since Warner Brothers trying to restructure that whole segment of their company. I don't know how involved he is with that as well. But it seems like if he's going to be doing this comic, he needs to be promoting it. And yet we see the focus is Snyder and Metal. DC Metal ends tomorrow. 6 issues. There was about 4 or 6 tie-ins. I can't remember exactly. And that is something, a story, a big story, a huge story that is now completed, that brings in so many new elements into the DC universe that reopens not just the multiverse, but an additional number of multiverses. Because not only do we have our regular multiverse, you also have the dark multiverse. So we went from having, I guess technically 52 Earths, to now potentially 104 Earths, or more, right? Or more, because I think in DC, even though 52 is canon, I think there's 53 Earths. And that's over, and everything that's coming out of that is going to be leading into the next No Justice thing, and that's going to be leading into this whole relaunch on Justice League. With the 3 Justice Leagues book, the Titan book, I thought there was another one that I can't remember. Big focus. Big stories. Big new stories. New creative teams. A whole new realm to play with. And yet, we have nothing about what the deal is with Doomsday Clock. So, my question is, has DC decided that Rebirth is no longer the way that they want to go? Has DC decided that they don't maybe like what Geoff Johns is doing with the universe anymore? Is Scott Snyder the new person that's going to be leading the DC universe going forward, at least in that chunk of the universe? Okay? And we also got Bendis coming in. Don't forget, Bendis is coming. If you haven't read a DC book, then you don't know that Bendis is coming. But if you read a DC book, you know, because in every single issue, there's a 2-page spread that tells you that Bendis is coming. And what is he going to be doing with the Superman chunk of the universe? Because the Superman chunk of the universe seemed, for a while, like it was going to be key into this whole Watchmen connection, Doomsday Clock connection. And the way that those stories unfolded ended up not being that case. But Superman seems to still be a key part of what Doomsday Clock will at some point become. So what happened to all that? What was the deal with the scheduling? Why did this whole thing not work out? That's the kind of thing I want to know. And it seems to me like whatever Geoff Johns had planned for the DC universe is no longer the case. And I'm okay with the direction that DC's going in. Don't get me wrong. I think what DC Rebirth has done for the DC universe has really gotten a lot of people excited for comics. I know for me, it got me excited to read a lot of comics I would never even care to try. But we don't want to get into this ever-churning cycle of recycling stories and characters and books for the new thing to sell more books. Now, if the stories are great, then I guess it doesn't really matter. And it seems like what Snyder and the rest of his team are planning will be great. And I'm excited to read all of them. I will be reading all of them. But what happened to Geoff Johns? What happened to the Watchmen connection? We spent so much time wondering about the possibilities of what could be. That's what I want to know. So if you have any ideas, email me, comictalktoday@gmail.com, or find me on the Twitter machine, @Geekvine, because I want to know. And if you think I'm a jerk and I'm wrong, I also want to know. So thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with a little bit of news. I'll be talking about my little con experience. And don't forget, leave an iTunes reviews. a Google Play Music review, a thumbs up on YouTube or whatever they do on Twitch. I don't know. This podcast is everywhere. Just find it. If you're not listening to this podcast, shame on you, but you are. So thank you. I'm going to give you a digital hug. And know that I do have a couple of creators already booked for this podcast, so we'll be playing games with all those people, and it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.